Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Montana's constitution specifically mentions the environment. A group of Montanans sued to enforce it. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. A group of 16 young climate activists, ages 5 to 22, sued the state of Montana over its energy policies. They argued they have a right to a clean environment under the state's constitution. On Monday, a judge there ruled in their favor. This could pave the way for more such lawsuits. Marketplace's Henry Epp has more.
Recent state policies in Montana forbid regulators from taking greenhouse gas emissions into account when permitting new energy projects, but the judge found those rules violated the young plaintiff's rights under an amendment to Montana's constitution passed in the early 70s, which says the state must maintain a clean and healthful environment for present and future generations. The decision gives a boost to the nonprofit law firm that brought the case on behalf of the group of young people. The organization has similar lawsuits pending in four other states. It's also brought one against the federal government, which a judge in June allowed to proceed to trial. In Montana, the decision could have implications for the state's fossil fuel industry. While it's not the largest in the nation, Montana is a producer of oil, gas, and coal. A spokesperson for Montana's attorney general called the ruling absurd and plans to appeal. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
Retail sales were up 0.7% in July. It's more than expected and more than double the growth rate in June. Restaurant sales are up 12% from a year ago. This is all a sign that the American consumer is doing just fine. It is one more piece of data suggesting the possibility of recession, which people have been talking about for more than a year, seems ever more remote. But is there any downside lurking in those numbers? David Kelly is chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds and joins us. Hi, David.
Good morning.
Is the Federal Reserve going to take a look at this and say, well, consumers are still spending, there's still a lot of demand out there pushing up prices, we are going to have to do more to fight inflation for a while yet?
It's a close call. But I think the more important point is the market's doing it for them. We've seen long-term interest rates rise by almost 1% since April, looking at 10-year treasuries. And what this means is the mortgage rate, a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, is now over 7%. 2 years ago this time, it was under 3%.
Why is that happening? If the Fed isn't raising rates, why are markets sort of pushing rates up on their own?
Well, I think part of it is because the overall global economy seems to be a little bit more inflationary. And then the other thing is, you remember that debt standoff? During the debt standoff, the debt ceiling standoff, the government really wasn't borrowing that much money. And now they're borrowing a lot to sort of refill their coffers. And that's putting upward pressure on long-term interest rates. So we're now seeing the highest long-term interest rates we've seen since last October. And really, before that, you have to go back 15 years.
David Kelly, chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
The competition is on for lenders to win some of the $27 billion in the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. Congress created the fund through the Inflation Reduction Act to finance clean energy projects. It's been a year now since it was passed, so Marketplace's Elizabeth Trovall checked in on how things are going.
With fall grant application deadlines just around the corner, it's all hands on deck for nonprofit lenders bidding to distribute billions of government dollars.
The clock is ticking.
Brian Garcia is with the Connecticut Green Bank, which is applying for funds to finance energy efficiency, battery storage, and clean energy projects. He says this capital is necessary because
The market has left behind low-income and disadvantaged communities.
National Bankers Association CEO Nicole Elam.
These are also the very same communities that have a higher climate risk across flood, fire, heat, wind, and chemical pollutants.
Her group is part of a coalition of lenders that created the Justice Climate Fund to apply for money as one entity. They would distribute it to institutions in communities across the country. Adam Kent with the Natural Resources Defense Council says funding can attract private sector capital, and once repaid, the money can be loaned out again.
These dollars are going to live on and be recycled.
Kent says the money could start flowing into actual projects by late next year. I'm Elizabeth Trovall for Marketplace.
China's youth unemployment rate, that is for ages 16 to 24, has reached record highs, more than 20%. So the government suspended it, the whole indicator, saying it needs to review the methodology behind it. This comes 2 weeks after the Chinese government, according to the Financial Times, pressured economists there not to discuss negative economic trends.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The cruise industry sank during the height of the pandemic. For 15 months, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shut cruises down altogether. Now, they're back. Bookings are at pre-pandemic levels. American passengers are central to the industry, accounting for 50% of global revenue by one measure. The BBC's James Graham has more from on board the legendary Rhythm and Blues cruise.
Hey, everybody, cruisers. Check your schedule. Make sure you see the bands you've missed and see someone you've never seen before.
Cruise ship passengers are back on board and sailing the high seas after a few lean years. Shares in some of the biggest operators have surged this year, and one company seeing strong demand is the legendary Rhythm and Blues cruise.
This is our 38th cruise. We're doing two a year. Yeah, we do one in the fall, late fall, and then one in the dead of winter.
Blues industry veteran Roger Naber runs the cruise.
We have a huge returning rate, typically about 80% returning rate. We have one gentleman on the ship as a passenger. He's sailed on all 38 cruises. It's like a big family.
Several thousand passengers have paid up to $5,000 for the week-long Caribbean voyage featuring dozens of blues performers. And themed cruises are now playing a big part in the future of the cruise industry, according to Simon Calder, travel correspondent at the UK's Independent newspaper.
I think the cruise industry, which has been through an absolutely unspeakably awful time during COVID, is seeing the specialty cruise as something which is going to turn its fortunes around.
Well, we've heard from the blues cruise, but there are plenty of other themes.
Star Wars or wildlife. But there's also a huge demand for 1980s pop and rock bands. And then there are the big events, such as conventions of science fiction fans.
Everybody feeling all right?
And for some musicians, a booking on these cruises can really put wind in their sails.
Tommy Castro and the Painkillers featuring Deanna Bogart.
It's done wonders for my career. I didn't get my first nomination for a Blues Music Award until I started performing on the Blues Cruise. And I don't think that's a coincidence. The right people get to see you here.
So for those enthusiasts, what makes this type of cruise such a perfect trip? The BBC's Deborah Weitzman spoke to a few of the regulars.
Donna Placco, I'm from New York, and we're at the bar having a drink, and we're talking about old musicians we see. It's just awesome.
I've been on, this is my ninth since 09.
How many times have you been on, Jackie?
This is my 20th.
What keeps you coming back?
The music, the vibe, the people.
We're hardcore, yeah.
I'm the BBC's James Graham for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.